Well, you may have heard about the new dinner theater craze right here in downtown Chicago. Teatro Zinzani is a show that's played all over the country and has found a home for a run at the Cambria Hotel. It's being billed as love, chaos, and dinner. Fast-paced action, acrobats, and aerialists alongside a multi-course feast. But what you may not know is that dinner theater has its roots right here in Chicago. The Candlelight Playhouse was opened in the late 50s by Bill Polinsky. Polinsky is credited with having the first theater that actually served meals in the theater. Before that, they were separate buildings. But that's just the start. Chicago's been home to many dinner theater legends, and Chicago entertainment and food columnist Phil Potempa is here to talk more about it. You can find Phil's work at the Post Tribune and ChicagoTribune.com. Phil, thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So let's start with Teatro Zinzani, because it really has been this blur of anticipation mm-hmm. and excitement, mm-hmm. because this is something that you don't usually see in theater.
Right. You know, and Chicago's long had a home to the Cirque shows that would come in Cirque du Soleil, but this really, it changes the whole dynamic because it's a standing show, so it should be here for a while. I mean, for right downtown, the heart of it. You mentioned the Cambria Hotel. It's right next to what was the Oriental Theater. Now we call it the James Niederlander Theater. And so Randolph Entertainment, as you mentioned, has been doing this in other cities around the country. They've teamed up with Broadway in Chicago, and this really just launched just a matter of a couple weeks ago. And it's really an immersive theater, which is what dinner theater is, because you're, as you said, you're dining and you're having the show unfold right in front of you. And what they've done is they've discovered up on one of the upper floors of this hotel an unused space that was not tapped into. It was a large great hall that was a Masonic space that just had not ever been developed. And what a great space it makes to do a dinner theater experience with sort of a virtual tent, but very elegant chandeliers. And so they completely have transformed it. And guests, maybe around 200 or so, will be in this kind of a circular dining experience. So it's sort of a theater in the round. Your tables are right there, kind of a cafe seating. And you get a sumptuous four-course meal. And what makes it different is this is really a top-notch cuisine. So it's not just going to kind of be, oh, your soup, your salad kind of a fare. But meanwhile, you're being entertained by acrobats, by clowns, some fantastic voices, be it operatic, in sort of a cabaret atmosphere, and still within around a $100 price range or so. So you can kind of go more up, a little upper scale. You can keep drinking and adding cocktails to it. And of course, your costs might go up a bit more. But it's something that's different. And so anyone that's visiting Chicago will want to make this on their list.
Bill, is this the kind of, I always wonder, like, what is their strength? Are they putting the emphasis on the performance, or are they putting the emphasis on the food?
Well, it's still kind of a work in progress for our venture here in Chicago. I mean, the dining was fantastic. The meal portions were substantial. I mean, I'm from a farm, so I'm a good-sized eater. I could still have probably eaten a little bit more off some of my dining neighbor's plates. But it's a four-course meal, so you're going to start off with an appetizer, then a salad, and then something either like maybe the salmon could be a main course, or it can be a beef short rib. Entertainment-wise, it's a little bit of a hodgepodge kind of mix-up. Well, you mentioned the name of this particular show they're doing is Love, Chaos, and Dinner. So it's supposed to kind of be, you don't know what's happening. It's immersive. But let me say, if you're somebody who's not really the person that wants to be called on stage or part of it, they are very respectful of that, which is more of myself. So I was glad I was in one of the ladder rings along the walkway, because I didn't want to be a part of the tomfoolery. And all the servers are a part of it, too. So they're also not only slinging the hash and serving, but you'll see them up singing and supporting, you know, the key headliners as well.
I've teased this out, and we're going to talk more about the history of it, but the dinner theater in Chicago is alive and well. It's not just Teatro Zinzani. There are other places that are doing, you know, Pete mentioned, even when you think about City Winery and other places like that, that are doing shows. It may not be theater, but it might be music, but you can eat while you watch.
Right.
It seems like it harkens back to a past life, but at the same time is very, very current.
When I thought about this when I was driving in, I'm thinking there's other places as well that still do. Your neighbor down the street, Tommy Gunn's Garage, they've been going forever, where you feel like you're at the speakeasy and you kind of knock on the door, and again, you're kind of in the middle of the action. That's going to be a little bit more of an everyday food fair, where again, this is it's very, very upscale. Mm-hmm. They mentioned that the recipe is being done by Debbie Sharp of The Goddess. That's a whole brand on its own.
She's great.
She's created what is this menu, and if somebody attends this one and says, I don't know if I kind of was into the whole acrobat or the clowns or, you know, the people spitting ping pongs in the air that's so close to where my table's at, maybe is not my thing. They're going to revamp and do an entirely new show in October that's going to be a little bit more suspense, and I'm guessing kind of a bit of a Halloween theme. So they're always going to kind of be rehashing and kind of reinventing it as we go along.
As you think about, it's hard not to think about Drury Lane. It's hard not to think about... you know, like we said, some of the other places that were more themed. Tony and Tina's Wedding falls into that that idea. Mm-hmm. But there are still a lot of active places that are serving dinner and showing theater.
And we got to give a nod. We're going to talk a little bit about Bill Plinsey here in a minute, but we're going to give a nod to Drury Lane, which still exists in Oakbrook Terrace. And I grew up a little bit more with, I'd say, the South Side, Drury Lane, Martinique and Evergreen Park. And, of course, that left us about 2002 or so. It closed. But that concept was true dinner theater, but a separate dining room. So you weren't actually dining, as you said, and past the bread basket as they're, you know, they're trying to tell you a story on stage. But Drury Lane has reinvented itself out in Oakbrook Terrace as well. Right now, they just opened with an Agatha Christie murder mystery, and Then There Were None. It goes until September the 1st. And Tony DeSantis, who trailed a little bit behind Bill Plinsey. You know, at one time he had four of these Drury Lanes. He had the Water Tower Drury Lane, the Evergreen Park one, and then the one in Oakbrook Terrace. And then way up north, our friends up in Lincolnshire, the Marriott, that was truly a part of the Drury Lane franchise at one time as well. And he passed in around 2007, around age 93, but his grandson has continued it, Kyle DeSantis, and completely redone it. So gone are all the mirrors and the heavy red velvet drapes.
You're kind of missing that.
And it's much more swank out in Oakbrook Terrace. And the same thing with the dining option. It's a preset course in the dining room, but they've named it Lucille after Kyle's grandmother. And it's much more upper scale. Some people might miss, again, the set menu where, again, you had the soup, the salad, you got, you know, a good portion of mashed potatoes. This is a little bit more kind of an a la carte opportunity.
Phil Potempa is here. He is the entertainment and food columnist for both the Post Tribune and ChicagoTribune.com. We're talking about the dinner theater and, of course, with Teatro Zinzani, which has just made its debut here in Chicago downtown. When we come back, let's talk more about who you brought to Teatro Zinzani and a little bit about the history of dinner theater here in Chicago. It's Extension 720 on WGN. Stay with us. Talking dinner theater here on Extension 720 with Philip Potempa. He's the entertainment and food columnist for the Post Tribune and ChicagoTribune.com. 312-981-7200. If you are one of the lucky ones that remember places like the Candlelight or the Martinique and other places that Phil was just talking about, give us a ring, let us know, or you can text, of course, your memories, 312-981-7200. And that's going to be a lot because Chicago played a big role when it came to dinner theater. When you look even as basic things like Wikipedia, they talk about Chicago as the front and center chapter because the names that we're talking about here in these theaters were national. They were the first of their kind.
Exactly. So Chicago really does have a history front row seat for dinner theater. And we were talking about this when we were chatting about, okay, this new theater experience is happening in Teatro Zinzani. Who better than Bill Plinsey to check it out and see what he thinks? The man recognized as the godfather for the dinner theater concept. And this is true. Bill, along with a foothold here in Chicago now, he lives in Dyer, Indiana. He's just right across the state line. But he's the one that started the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse, which is right over in Summit, Southside Chicago by Midway Airport off Harlem Avenue. And that happened 60 years ago, back in 1959. He and his college buddy, Tony DeAngelo, thinking about, what about this idea if we give a good price meal and pair it with a great show? What a ticket opportunity. And they're tossing this around, come to Chicago, 1961, launch the Candlelight. And I love what Bill says, that for $6, you got a three-course meal. You got your soup, your main course, your cocktail, your dessert, and the show ticket, all for $6. Of course, we don't have those kind of prices now, but you know, that was true dinner theater in the sense that you were going to see something like My Fair Lady. You were going to see Man of La Mancha. It wasn't acrobats hanging overhead, which, you know, I think Bill maybe raises his eyebrows a little bit. But, you know, he stays contemporary and realizes that, again, that's the art of theater. It needs to reinvent itself. It needs to be current, and that's what they're doing right now.
Now, Bill couldn't be here tonight, but, you know, when we talk about him seeing that experience. Mm-hmm. What was the conversation like afterwards? Is he like, this is of course the evolution I was talking about? This is, or was he like, they're not doing it right? Where's the bread? Where's the salad?
Well, again, I think he's up for anything that's going to keep the experience alive. And he was this close to being with us in the studio, but he's a hard person to peg down. He, of course, has a connection in that Tony D'Angelo and his wife Eileen Licaro, they were right there side by side with him at the Candlelight Playhouse, and Eileen is a part of Broadway in Chicago, so she thought it was a great idea. Let's get Bill in here, our old friend, and see what he thinks. And Bill's honest; he'll you know, say right to the front if there's some things he thinks needs to be tweaking or some things that need to be changed. You know, again, I think he's less of the plate spinning in the air a la Bozo show and more of a classic music man or phantom type of a person. But again, he could appreciate that young tastes change and they want to be a part of what is the now.
Were they aware? Was Teatro Zanzani aware of the royalty, the legend that was in the building?
Eileen certainly, and she and I were in cahoots to have, make sure that Bill had a ticket. So definitely, yeah, it was a part of the experience. And, you know, one of the things, this idea of having headliners, which Teatro Zanzani does, that was what the Martinique would do. They would bring in all of these folks that you would see on TV, and they would have a celebrity headliner be a part of that experience. So that's certainly not a new concept, having somebody that has a name or that's noted and connected to help with that marquee value of the whole experience.
Right. And it seems that that's the texts that are coming in. 262 says, my folks used to take me to the Fireside in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin, for dinner theater, places doing dinner shows. That's Dave. 815, and I'm not sure if it's dinner theater or not, but I remember my mom and dad taking me to see to the Saber Room for my 21st birthday to see Count Basie and his orchestra. So
yeah, music, entertainment, and the dinner. Across the state line, I got to mention in Indiana that if you go as far as Indianapolis, Beef and Boards has been around for decades. And that is true, Justin, where before you're sitting in a kind of a tiered kind of a landscape of tables, you go down on the stage where they roll out the buffet. And so you're scooping out your Mastacholi. We're just in about, you know, an hour and 20 minutes later, there's going to be the leading lady in the spotlight. And they roll off the buffet, and the lights go down, and you have the little lamps on the table. So that's still around. And then in Munster, Indiana, which is near and dear to my own heart, right now they're doing Over the Tavern this Thursday night. They have a dinner theater night. So not every performance is dinner theater, but it still lives on. We have that opportunity to kind of package it with a meal.
There, it's interesting because, you know, I kind of chuckle when I hear about, you know, you rolling out the buffet on the stage and the Mastacholi and the whole bit. But there is something to be said about it. At a certain point, I don't know if it was a pop culture thing or if it was just a generational thing, but dinner theater almost became punchline.
Yes.
You saw from late night talk shows or whatever it might be, just this idea that, you know, it's corny. Right. And this is theater and corny, and you think of you know, people eating their prime rib and a lot of clinking glasses while people are on stage. So there has been it did go through a little bit of a time where it became the butt of the joke.
Well, and you ask, why isn't the Candlelight still here? You know, Summit, Illinois is right there, and Harlem Avenue is there. And that's just it ran its course in that, you know, what they had programmed there had ran so long because it was a hit, they kind of slowly lost some of their subscribers. And then a Krispy Kreme went in that same spot and a Portillo's, which I love Portillo's, but it's too bad that the Candlelight is not there. But if you think about it, dinner theater is still happening in Las Vegas, Branson. Mm-hmm. They do the same concept. That's what Teatro Zanzani is doing. And I'm sure it's going to get a lot of folks that will come and experience. And as long as they're changing it and including the programming, you know, it'll I think have some lifeblood.
Yeah, it's fascinating too because, you know, it makes a lot of sense to have dinner because there's so many restaurants now that'll pop up. If you just think about Broadway in Chicago, all the restaurants that kind of pop up around it to try and grab the theater crowd before they go in and out. So it does make a lot of sense. Why don't we see more of it? Why has this become a kitsch or just one genre of theater? Why haven't we seen theaters embrace this concept fully?
It is a tricky, that's why my hat's off to Bill Polinsi for running his space as long as he did. It's a tricky balancing act, no pun intended. Think about it, you have to have meals served and the meals have to be hot, and you have to also then have the entertainment and anybody that's been behind the scenes, and it's like a radio show with theater, things are timed. to the nth degree to make sure you have everything that moves in and out like it has to, and to have people eating. Some people also just don't like the performers knowing that there's that distraction.
Right.
We kid about, you know, someone of your, I think your producer said earlier about somebody's trying to ask me what my soup choice is, and I'm trying to pay attention to what's going on stage. It's a costly investment if it's not going to work. And trust me, the folks at Randolph Entertainment and Broadway in Chicago have backed this considerably. And you're right, there's a lot of promotion. You knew all about it. Mm-hmm. We talked about this weeks before. Everywhere. You know, that's what it takes to get the word out. And then most of all, that word of mouth. If it's good, it'll continue to be the ripple effect. If it's not good, it'll also be the ripple effect, but not in the way you want.
Right. Lydia, who's out in Niles, says, what about the Mill Run Theater and the Millionaires Club at Golf Mill? So obviously there is a... There seems to be, if not a current love of the dinner theater, but at least fond memories of what dinner theater meant to Chicagoans.
Yeah, and again, I think that pricing is so important. It's got to be fairly priced, because if you outprice it, then it only becomes something that, you know, the elite can do. And that's not what dinner theater was ever about. It was just the opposite. It was a bargain, something that you were going to go away feeling as though you definitely had gotten the most bang for your buck.
You know, that's a great point that... You think that dinner theater might be more elite because, you know, obviously you're pairing sort of fine dining with theater. Mm-hmm. But you're absolutely right. This was more of to approach and to retain or to attract a more working class audience who may think of the theater as being something that is unattainable to them.
Right. And again, I grew up with the food at the Drury Lane Oakbrook and the Drury Lane in Martinique, and I thought it was phenomenal. Again, I'm plucked from a cornfield, but I thought it was a great price for what you would receive. And I thought there was ambiance. I liked the mirrors, and I liked the heavy red drapes and the tassels and all of that experience. But this again, it's kind of a bit of a throwback. When you walk in, first thing there, they've got trays of champagne at Teatro Zanzini, and they have a big gift shop with different kinds of Mardi Gras masks and purses and things. Again, a lot of props. It's really a little, I think, an assault of the senses, and that's the thing. If Bill Polinsi was maybe flinching a little bit as he was watching, I'm sure it would be a thing of such as a little overwhelming of the senses, because there's so much going on around you. But that's what you want. You want to feel like for that hour and a half, you're in another world of imagination. Yeah.
Philip Potempa, the entertainment and food columnist for the Post Tribune, Chicago Tribune, talking about the history of dinner theater and the show Teatro Zanzani, which is on stage now at the Cambria Hotel, right on Randolph, right next to the Niederlander Theater. Philip, great to have you on the show. Looking forward to having you on more. So thank you very much for being on Extension 720.
Thank you.